This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour here on Live Bet Saturday, live from the Mitt Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, right above the Circa Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor. Alongside Will Hill, we've got all kinds of football going on right now. In the NFL, it is 14-0. Texans are up on the Chargers right now. And the current live betting line, Texans, 11.5-point favorites. Total, it's come down a little bit, 47.5. Will, are you involved in any kind of fantasy football championship game? Because if you had C.J. Stroud, I think you'd be doing pretty well right now on that one.
I am not. I had to work. I had to host a VSiN show the night of the draft, so I gave everyone a break, and everyone actually had a chance this year in the league. So luckily for them, I had other obligations. But I did just add a bet. I talked about it. I don't love this one. Over 28.5 passing attempts for Herbert, just with the game state. And how about this stat? He only has one pass attempt through two drives so far because he hasn't been able to get the throws off. But you figure these throws are going to come here. I worry about him sustaining drives. I worry about the fact that he's banged up. But I did just add Herbert over 28.5 pass attempts, down 14-0, a lot of game left. You got to figure the passes are going to come fast and furious here. Can they block for him? Can they sustain drives? Can he stay healthy? All of those are valid concerns. So I'd say it's more like a half of a bet in terms of the bet size, but it is something I bet just because I think the game state favors Herbert throwing the ball a lot here coming up in this game.
Hampton, 6 carries for the Chargers. And like you said, only one pass attempt. I'm not really sure, especially if you have a quarterback who's a little bit dinged up with his off shoulder. I'm not so sure why at least you're not attempting more pass attempts if he's in there. And I don't know why they're running the ball so much if he's not hurt. So, yeah, Texans now with the ball. It is a 3rd and 9 on their own 33. And C.J. Stroud is barking a signal here as they're about to snap the ball 2 seconds on the play clock. They get it off. He doesn't know what to do, and he just throws it out of bounds. That'll be a punt. So it is now 4th down and 9 for the Texans. Stroud not happy. 2:15 to go first quarter. If you told me the end of the first quarter was 7-7, I wouldn't be happy with an underplay, but I wouldn't be devastated like I was when it was like 9 minutes to go in first quarter. It was 14-0. Anything you see on this one, Will? Because Army, 34-16 now. They're going to cover. They covered everything in that one, so you cash that ticket. Anything else you've got going on right now that you'd like to kind of comment on as we're looking at 2-minute timeout for Georgia Tech and BYU, still 21-10 Georgia Tech?
No, we cashed the first half over there. We cashed the team total over with Army, so lose the first quarter under with Texans and Chargers, but you know what? 2-1. 2-1 pays the bills. Was it Meatloaf? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Be happy with the 2 out of 3 so far. Georgia Tech plus the points is looking good. So it's a long day, a lot of action. Got to pace ourselves. But I added Herbert over attempts. Other than that, I'm kind of shook by how this game is starting. I'm not surprised that Houston's winning, but I'm surprised they threw 2 bombs for touchdowns right away against a pretty good Chargers defense. I'm not surprised the Chargers are having trouble blocking. Just the one unit I'm surprised is really overachieving here. A Texans team that struggled mightily last week with the Raiders was really lucky to win that game, really struggled down. They come out and just light up the Chargers the first 2 drives. That I really did not expect, Brad.
Agreed. I totally get where you're coming from on that one. But in terms of there's just the surprise of seeing both those touchdowns long and quick in that first quarter. Yeah, it's kind of one that makes you kind of reassess what you're doing, but at the same time, the live betting lines, they've kind of tailed Texans a little bit. 9.5 now your live line, 47.5. I wouldn't be shocked to see the next 4 or 5 minutes of this game, especially, kind of go a little defensive. You see that that total drop closer to where it was to start this game. We do see 3rd down for Georgia Tech now on their own 9. BYU called 2 straight timeouts to try to get the ball back. But Georgia Tech runs and gets the 1st down, and they will be at their own 26. Inside 2 minutes to go in the first half, looks like, but a flag is down. We'll see what they called here. If they get that 1st down, you can pretty much call the end of the half here in this one. But we will see what this call is as we're looking around at a lot of commercials right now. We do see in the Snoop Dogg Bowl, we do see Miami here close to the end of the first quarter, 3.5 minutes left, first quarter. Miami up 3-0 on Fresno. Those were a couple of our best bets, taking Miami in the points and going under that total. Miami 1.5-point favorite, total 35.5. That's a low total there, Will.
Yeah, good call on that one. At least so far, you're in the right direction. So we're going to we'll rely on you for updates on the Snoop Dogg Bowl. I'm watching the BYU game, the NFL game. I didn't end up taking Miami, Ohio. I wish I did. That was a good call. But you're going to keep us updated on the Snoop Dogg Bowl. That's one that I didn't have much of a handicap on. I thought your handicap was solid, but haven't spent much time watching it, too, with all these games going on. They did call back that Georgia Tech run. So 3rd and 2, they're going to fake the toss, and Haynes King's going to keep it himself, and it's going to be a first down. And BYU has one timeout. Georgia Tech is on their own 14, 1:30 left. I know Georgia Tech, you know, you want to be aggressive. It's a bowl game. Probably smart to just be very conservative here, and if not take a knee, be very conservative and just go to the locker room up 11. You get the ball to start the third quarter. Be curious to see how aggressive Georgia Tech is here. You don't want a turnover. You've controlled the first half, especially since you got the gift with the turnover. You don't want to give it back. You feel good if you can go to the locker room up 11 and getting the ball to start the third quarter, where, you know what, if you get a touchdown, you go up 18 and the game is all but over. And they do play it pretty conservatively. They hand it off on first down. They're not running up to the line. So it looks like they're content here, Brad, to just run the clock and go into the locker room with an 11-point lead, which I do think, even though I'm usually a guy that's in favor of being aggressive, I do think it's probably a smart decision here.
Herbert just passes for 5 yards, and so that's another pass, and it'll be 3rd and 4 now after a Hampton run up the middle. But let's talk about the other game tonight in the NFL for just a moment. This time yesterday, we knew that Lamar Jackson wasn't playing, but we didn't know Jordan Love wasn't playing. That's when I kind of went down on Baltimore there and taking the points. But now it's Huntley versus Willis, not Lamar versus Jordan Love. And we do have Matt LaFleur talking about the alleged similarities between Snoop Huntley and Lamar Jackson.
I still see both those guys are extremely athletic. The one thing that's unique, I would say, about them versus maybe some other teams is they're gonna run their offense because both of those guys are capable of, you know, they're beating with your arm or they can beat you with their legs. So there's a lot of similarities. I would say there's more similarities than not. Certainly Lamar's, I mean, he's been an MVP of this league, so we all know the type of talent that he has. And it's just not, you know, those two guys, they've got multiple weapons. When you talk about Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, the tight end, both tight ends are dynamic players. So I think their offensive line is one of the better ones in the league.
At LaFleur. Sometimes sounds like more like Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball. At least Patches O'Houlihan doesn't come out to talk to us. But in this one, we do see currently Green Bay now down to a 2.5-point favorite across the board. Total down to 38 in this one. What do you think about this game? Ravens and Packers. Packers only 2.5 now, Will.
Ravens are a good teaser leg at 2.5. It's a low total. Mentioned the Texans being a good teaser leg. This is another good teaser leg at 2.5. You know, instead of most games aren't going to land 1 or 2, you can tease it up, and that's a good way to approach it. I like the under, though. Both these teams are going to put a quarterback in there with Huntley and Willis that are going to run the ball a lot themselves. They're not big-time throwers with the deep ball. It's a lot of basically like service academy offense where 3-4 yards, a lot of, you know, RPOs, run the ball, run the clock. I think that clock is going to be running. So it's a low total. It's come down, but I don't think it's low enough. I think this is a 20-17 type of game. I really like this under here. I don't think we're going to get a lot of explosive play. So under is a play for me in this game. And I do think the Ravens, a very good teaser leg with the low total.
One of my best bets in this game. In fact, it is the best bet for me. Derrick Henry. This time yesterday, he was at 71.5 rushing yards. He's up to 74.5 rushing yards now because of the news that Huntley's playing instead of Lamar Jackson. I went under 74.5 for Derrick Henry here, who has probably the quietest 1,200-yard rushing season in the league. Am I crazy for thinking that the Packers might be also thinking that they're going to run Henry a lot and they'll have to do something else?
No, it's a good way to approach it. I've noticed Keaton Mitchell has taken some action here. He was like 23.5, 24.5. His rush prop has gotten bet up to like 27.5, 28.5. So maybe that's a sign that it's a rush-heavy attack and you can't run Henry every play. So maybe Mitchell, a guy who's shown some promise in recent weeks, maybe Mitchell gets a little bit more action here in this Saturday night game. I love these Saturday night games, by the way. Lambeau Field, Saturday night, means something for the Ravens, means something for the Packers. I'm really looking forward to this game.
We are officially at the end of the first quarter in the NFL, 14-0 in this one. So, yeah, we do have, it's like a 4-7-7 game, and they both scored kind of average, maybe a little regression to the mean. Georgia Tech now, 4 seconds left. They are close to midfield. Looks like they're going to try some kind of a Hail Mary here in this one. So, yeah, we've got a lot going on here, and we're going to have a lot more for you. But I know Will Hill is a big New Year's Eve guy. You know, the real professional partiers, they go out all the time, but the amateurs like Will, he goes out only on New Year's Eve because he has to. But on this year on New Year's Eve, the Fremont Street experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, they're turning it up all the way. Ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st all night long. You'll get 6 live concerts on 3 stages featuring Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy. I think that's how you say it, but plus a massive countdown and a light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street canopy. 1 ticket, 1 night, just $60, and the party starts at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets now at vegasexperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or at any gate location on December 31st. Heck, I remember Casey Kasem back in the day. That's all I know. Make sure to check it out today, vegasexperience.com. Coming up after the break, we're at halftime at Georgia Tech, 21-10 over BYU, and more NFL coming up next. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live in Franklin, Kentucky from the Mitt Gaming Hall here in the right above the Circa Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill here on your Live Bet Saturday. And we've got all kinds of football going on. We are now almost 2 minutes into the second quarter and the scoring has thankfully slowed down. Still 14-0 Texans here in this one as we're looking at this game now. 1st and 10 for the Texans right at midfield. They're on the Chargers 49 going in. So, yeah, Texans have looked great so far in this first quarter. And Marks runs it up the middle and might have gotten one, but I don't think so. We're at halftime, 21-10 in the Pop-Tarts Bowl with Georgia Tech and BYU. And, of course, Army is sticking it to UConn in that game. We'll talk about the Snoop Dogg Bowl later because Will said I'm the only person that's watching that one, apparently, because I'm the only one with money on that one. But we are going to talk a little bit of college basketball because – on the Progressive guest line, it is Greg Hoops Peterson. You can find his work on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg Peterson, how are you today, sir, with only, 3 college basketball games on the entire schedule? What's going on here?
I know. It is very wild. They unfortunately did not give us the Diamond Egg Classic this year out there in Hawaii, so it's been a rough last few days, but there's always good news on the rise of 127 games next Saturday, only one bettable game this week. And getting to that Snoop Dogg game, by the way, Will, I think that you need to grab yourself some gin and juice for watching that one.
Yeah, I think that that might be how I get through that one is, not exactly an expiring matchup, which is the case with a lot of these bowl games. They've really taken a hit with some of these matchups with the 12-team playoff, scooping up these teams and the opt-outs. It's not the same as it was, 5-10 years ago. But something that we want to ask you about here, Greg, and I can't remember, I'm sure you've got a good memory with this stuff. I can't remember a gap like this where college basketball basically takes 4 or 5 days off right around the Christmas holiday. We used to have the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii. I remember Christmas, and there wasn't a ton of college basketball, but there were some. I guess from a handicapping perspective, when we come back from the break, would you look towards unders figuring these kids are rested? They're going to be intense defensively. Maybe the offense, the rhythm isn't there. How do you handicap such a long layoff? And you remember such a long layoff in previous years?
This is the biggest layoff I've ever had because you mentioned it. Typically, we have the Diamond Head Classic. Since I've been out here in lovely Las Vegas for about the last 8 or so years, you always have that tournament where, I mean, it's only like 4 or 5 games a day, but you've got those 4 to 5 games a day. Now we've had one game over the last 4 days, and that's going to be Samford versus CSUN tonight. So you're looking for a little bit more there. But what I really look at is some of these underdogs in like the last non-conference game that a lot of these teams have. Because keep in mind that this is a time where you've got winter break for a lot of these students. So a lot of students are off campus. And like tonight with CSUN versus Samford, I did take the points with Cal State Northridge, mainly because you're probably going to have a, let's call it what it is, sparse crowd out there for Samford. You're not going to have the students on campus. You're not going to have as much of the pageantry for CSUN. They're not going to have to travel too far. And while a lot of these power conference teams, these top 25 teams, they're looking forward to what they're going to be able to do in conference play, this is a school like CSUN's last opportunity to be able to get that signature win on their resume, to be able to show, hey, we're in a mid-major conference, but we're a team that could be able to make a little bit of noise if we're able to win our conference tournament as well, build a little bit of positive momentum. So what I look at more than anything else is these mid-major teams in these final bye games being able to rise up and cover these spreads.
Greg, I am here in Kentucky where it's all about college basketball. And for the next 9-10 weeks, it's all about the SEC college basketball. And I love playing some conference regular season futures. That's probably one of my favorite little play toy kind of bets to do. Before the season started, Florida and Kentucky were your favorites to win the SEC. But now, Vandy is plus 260 to win this conference regular season. Florida is the second favorite. Kentucky's the fifth favorite. Who do I play as a future in this SEC regular season when the best team is plus 260? It feels like a toss-up to me, Greg.
And I do think that this is the sort of conference where you can take a little bit more of an underdog shot, because I do think that Vanderbilt is the rightful favorite. But we did see 2 hours before I came on this show, Frankie Collins, who has been a really good defender for Vanderbilt, he's out indefinitely with a torn meniscus. And maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think that the line has moved at all for that. And I do think that it should, because he has been a great defender for a Vanderbilt team that is still undefeated. They've looked very rock solid. I would be now looking with that injury, though, perhaps a little bit more to Alabama. And the reason why is that, yeah, Alabama's taken a few losses, but it's not like Alabama's playing cream puffs. And with Alabama, you see it every single year. They get rewarded by the fact that they play such a brutal non-conference slate. With Nate Oates, he's a guy that is going to play any team, anytime, anywhere. And I think that really builds them up a little bit differently for SEC conference play. Now, from a game-to-game perspective, Alabama's going to have a lot more volatility because they take so many threes. When they're on, they're on. They're going to be able to cover those spreads easily. When they're off, they're going to come nowhere close to covering those spreads. But I would be looking a little bit at Alabama. And then if they're in your neck of the woods in Kentucky, we saw Louisville lose about a week or two ago to Tennessee. That's a team that feels like it's starting to figure it out as well. You know that Rick Barnes' team is going to play good, rock-solid defense. What's been hurting them is the turnovers, with losing Zakai Ziegler at the point guard spot. That really hurt them. But now it feels like Jacoby Gillespie and company are starting to figure it out. I'd be looking at those two teams in Tennessee and Alabama with the way that they were tested in non-conference play and are coming in with some momentum.
Greg, I'll put you on the spot. Last year, it was all chalk in the Final Four, all onesies. But the year before that, NC State out of nowhere made a Final Four. The year before that was Florida Atlantic out of nowhere made a Final Four. If there's one or two teams that are way off the radar that you could see, if they got the right bracket, they got the right matchup, nobody's thinking about them, who are some of those teams that could surprise come March when you're filling out your bracket?
Oh, man, and this team has never won an NCAA tournament game before. But the more I look at this Nebraska team, the more that I like them. And they're going to be lost in the shadow right now of the likes of Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State. Nobody is talking about these guys right now. And with Nebraska, Rick Mass was out all last season for them. He has come back, and he has made a big impact. And it's addition by subtraction, because I'm a Wisconsin guy. I remember Connor Asesian would either give you a really good game or a really bad game. He was playing a lot for Nebraska last year. They pushed him out of the lineup, and the guard play has been so much better for Nebraska this past year with having Price Samford coming on over from Iowa. That's a team that I really like what they've been able to bring me, and that this is a team that I would not sprinkle a Final Four future on or anything like that. But there's one undefeated team right now in college basketball that nobody's talking about: Miami of Ohio. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball, a veteran team that brings back much of their guard play from a season ago. They've got a big man from Rutgers and Antoine Wolfork, who's in his second year in the program. They do a nice job in terms of generating turnovers. This is a rock-solid team from a MAC that has been down over the last few years. Feels like it's building itself up with Miami of Ohio. They really haven't played the world's greatest competition. Let's call it what it is. But I really like what I'm seeing out of them, and I feel like that's a mid-major team that could win a game or two in the NCAA tournament. And, hey, if you've got a little bit of a future on them right now, you could be able to hedge it out prior to, like, the round of 32 Sweet 16.
One paragraph answer, Greg, because I stopped the one-line answer. One paragraph answer. I hear you've got a big take on the game tonight in Green Bay. Your best bet in the NFL game tonight with the Packers and the Ravens.
Absolutely. Well, I did like the spread in this game when it was 3.5 for the Ravens. That is now down to 2.5. I feel like you lost the value there, but I do like the over. You've got two of the best rushing teams in all of football. You know that Derrick King Henry is going to be fed the ball in just droves. It's going to be a cold day out there in Lambeau. Give me the over in this game, as I think both running backs have themselves a nice performance.
@GUnit_81. He is Mr. College Basketball, and around here they call him Hoops. Greg, we look forward to seeing you every Saturday, starting next Saturday, because it'll be all college basketball for several weeks after that. Go cash some tickets for us tonight. Thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Absolutely. Maybe a little bit more of a shortage on the tickets this week. Next week is when we're really going to get them in full drove. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Merry Christmas, buddy. He is Greg Hoops Peterson. He is the best in the business at talking college basketball. Until you just get sick and tired of talking college basketball, he's got enough knowledge, and he can go on about any team and any conference, you know. But speaking of how to get your word out there, it is reaching people is very easy, but reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com. Chargers back to throw on third down. Herbert throws it out. It's complete, but they are going to have to punt on their own 15 going forward. We got bowl games. We got the Army game just ended. We got all kinds of football. We will talk about it all, even the Snoop Dogg Bowl, coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
From the Mint Gaming Hall here in Franklin, Kentucky, right above the Circus Sportsbook, I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill. We are here to get you through this football Saturday. And in the NFL game, I was about to come back from a commercial break and say, oh, Will, oh, ye of little faith. But all of a sudden, an interception kind of ruined that little trick. As we do see now, the Chargers, for the first time, are in the red zone of the Houston Texans. And with a 14-0 score now, Texans are still a 6.5-point favorite in this one. But the total has jumped from 41.5 just a minute ago to 44.5. That turnover really helped the over players in this one. Will, your thoughts on this game now as we see the Chargers finally inside the red zone?
Yeah, you said it well. We had started to settle in after the first two touchdowns in, what, the first 6 minutes of the game? Yep. It'd been a very long, extended lull, which is what you need, especially in an under, especially when you get behind the pace early with early points and a low total. But the problem is when you give up 14 quick points, when you have a low total, you just got to have everything go perfectly, and you got to have so much dead time, and it's easy to pinpoint and say, oh, if it weren't for that interception, we'd be in good shape. But that's the problem when you build yourself such a thin margin of error where nothing can happen for so long. It's football. It's the NFL. Big plays are going to happen, whether it's offense or turnovers. Our hope now, if you have the under, is you hold them to three. And the thing that's frustrating, too, with this under, the Chargers have done nothing on offense. If you're Houston, the only thing you got to think, you know what, we might not need to score again. With the way our defense is playing, with how beat up the Chargers' offensive line is, let's just be concerned. Let's just not turn it over. If we punt, no big deal. Let's make the Chargers go along field. What you didn't want to do is give them a short field and give them, you know, momentum is a cliche. It's a buzzword, but you didn't want to give them a short field. You didn't want to give them momentum. And if you give them a short field and a 7 points here, all of a sudden, as bad as they played, it's 14-7. Chargers get the ball to start the third quarter. And it's, you know, not a brand new game, but they've it just feels like the momentum is on the Chargers side. Now, getting seven here is important. It's if you come away with only three, that's a big victory for Houston. That's a big failure for the Chargers. So we'll see how this plays out. Second and three, we do have an injury. Before we get back to that game, I did make a play, another play here in this third quarter, or in this Georgia Tech BYU game. Third quarter, getting a half a point with Georgia Tech, minus 130 at DraftKings. You're getting a half a point, and you're getting the ball to start the third quarter. When I'm if it's only a 15-minute game, which it is, I'm getting the ball, and I'm getting half a point. And I got a team that can move the ball. Those are ingredients I like. So I'm taking Georgia Tech plus a half a point in the third quarter. You get that at DraftKings.
I'm going to join you on this. You got to give me a little more warning on these, Will. Oh, come on. I got to punch this up while they're getting ready to kick off here real quick. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. We do have a final score, though. It is Army did win 41-16 over UConn. That line was 8 when the game kicked off, 41.5. So easy cover for the favorite and the over there. And, so we do also see that exciting Snoop Dogg Bowl is 3-3 with 6.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Boy, that feels like a very exciting game. Snoop Dogg himself might be doing that one. Fresno still a 3.5-point favorite. Total 30.5 in that one as we're seeing Georgia Tech and BYU now kick off. But let's talk about some other bowls that are going on a little later tonight. First one, number 25, North Texas is against San Diego State in this one. Most places, we do see North Texas now a 7.5-point favorite, total 54.5. I didn't have enough on either side to go side or total in this one, Will. Did you have anything with this game?
No, I didn't. San Diego State was a really good defense this year. North Texas was a team, and you got to wonder about where they are psychologically. They were one win away. All they needed to do was beat Tulane in the AAC title game, a game they were favored in, and they would have been in the college football playoff. They're good on offense. They play with a fast pace. So this is a strength for a strength, good offense versus good defense. North Texas is the favorite. They're the rightful favorite. I just, when I question the motivation and I got to lay 7.5 on top of it, it would only be underdog or pass. I will pass the game. Should be an interesting game to watch, though.
Next game, we've got a trap, Will. It is Virginia and Missouri. Wait a minute. Virginia's ranked. How come they're an underdog against unranked Missouri? This is something I love to play regular season, but the numbers say it's not as big of a deal in the postseason in these bowl games. Missouri now opened a 7-point favorite. They're down to a 4-point favorite here, but look at this total. It opened 50.5. It is now down to 43.5, and the money is pretty much split right down the middle on the over and the under. I went under 43.5 in this one, Will. Your thoughts on Virginia, Missouri?
Yeah, I like your under. Virginia's another team. They're one win away, and that game was in overtime against Duke. They're one win away from playing in a college football playoff. Are they going to be all excited to play in this lesser bowl? I'm not sure. And again, you got an SEC team against an ACC team. Going with the SEC team with a low total, not a bad way to approach it. It'd be Missouri or pass. I ultimately pass. I do like your under play.
Before we get to the other bowl game tonight, Chargers 2nd and 3 on the 8. They run it. Hampton stopped for a 1-yard loss. So it's going to be 3rd and 4 from the 9. Less than 7 minutes now to go in the second quarter of this game. So that time keeps on ticking into the future in this one. Let's before we get to the rest of this Chargers drive here, let's talk a little bit about LSU and number 21, Houston. Houston, currently a 1.5-point favorite over LSU. Oh, yeah, the game is in Houston. LSU, the dog in the SEC, 41.5 year total. We did hear from Houston coach Willie Fritz before the game on what he thought of LSU.
Big team. You know, they're really big on the offensive line. You know, two really active interior guys on the defensive line. You know, you know, big, tall and long in the secondary. You don't see that a lot of schools. So they're really talented squad. I mean, I think they've been a top 10 recruiting class, you know, last 3, 4, 5 years. You know, so obviously got a lot of very good players.
Houston, 1.5-point favorite at home in this one, 41.5 your total. I went under the total in this one, too, yesterday at 42. Would do the same thing with this one tonight. Your thoughts on LSU-Houston, Will?
I like Houston here. You mentioned it. They're playing it at home. I think a game like this means more to Houston, where, I mean, if you're LSU, not only do you have a complete transition with the program with the new coach, but you're not excited to play in this bowl. You want to win national championships. So motivation edge for Houston, home field advantage edge for Houston. And Fritz is a good coach. I think that program's going in the right direction. When they took over, it was 2 years ago, their win total, they're 2.5 or 3.5. I mean, he's kind of built this from the ground up. I think this will mean a lot to them. And plus, you got the fact that you're playing close to home. Feels weird to be laying points with an American Athletic team against an SEC team, but I think you're laying points for a reason. I like Houston. I think they win the game. Keep in mind, play the money line instead of the 1.5. A lot of times these teams in the bowl games, if they're down 7 late and they score a touchdown, they'll go for 2, so the game can land on 1 either way. That 1.5 is super valuable in bowl season. So I would take Houston, but I would play the money line.
Good point by Will on these. Yeah, they don't like – overtimes are not something people like in these bowl games, especially, you know, the lower down bowl games. Field goal is good for the Chargers. Now 14-3, Houston is up on the Chargers. 6:10 to go in the first half. And we do see the live betting line. Texans, 8.5-point favorite. And that total has come down quite a bit now. Back down to 42.5, Will. I feel a little better about this now that they got the 3 there instead of the 7.
You know what? Let us win the bet or make us lose right away. We don't give us hope and then tease us and let us keep looking at the live total and thinking we have a shot. Just, you know what? We want to either win or just put us out of our misery. But yeah, we've settled in here defensively. The 3 points the Chargers got really were off a short field. They have not done anything to show they can sustain drive. So yeah, we're in, I wouldn't say we're in good shape, but we've got the game in position now where the game is manageable. What I like too here for the under perspective, if you're Houston, your defense has played great. You just turned the ball over and gave them a short field. Don't you be a little conservative and say, hey, let's not give this game away with turnovers. Let's run the ball. True. Let's have short conservative passes. Let's not let them back in the game by turning it over. I wonder if that's in the back of their mind too, which would be good for an under.
That's a good point, Will. That's very good as we're watching first down now for the Texans. And we're also watching Georgia Tech, who had a first and goal, and they just fumbled it. And it looks like BYU has recovered going the other way. Oh. So Georgia Tech was in position to score. They had a first and goal a minute ago. And on a third down pass, a reception, fumble, and BYU now has it on their own 30 going the other way. So Georgia Tech was about to ready to put that game away, it almost looked like. And now BYU's back in it. So we might see some more points. We better see some more points going forward. As we now see the Texans, 2nd and 6 here in this one. As they're up 14-3, and we'll watch this play real quick as it looks like Marks is going to get it up the middle, and he gets a first down, and he'll be brought down at his own 36 here. Real quick for commercial, your thoughts on the BYU game real quick, Will. I know you're emotionally invested and financially.
Yeah, it took a half point in the third quarter. Felt like I got to get a touchdown and be in good shape. I think that's a fumble. He didn't have it for a while, but that's enough where they call it possession. Georgia Tech had a chance to recover. They kicked it. They fumbled it. If BYU picked it up cleanly, they had the sideline there where they might have been able to run it back the whole way. They couldn't really recover cleanly, but they do recover it. They gain a few yards on first down, so now it's second down here. Georgia Tech leaves the door open. They would have been in control if they got a touchdown.
Speaking of leaving the door open, our best bets coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And down the stretch they come here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mid Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook. On your Live Bet Saturday, I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. Let's go around the horn on these games real quick. It looks like we are at the two-minute warning in L.A. with the Chargers and Texans. Texans up 14-3 on the Chargers. Current betting line, Texans -7.5. But look at this total, Will. 39.5, your total. And we just saw Georgia Tech get a turnover here, it looks like. Did you see the play? I did not see the play, Will. I just saw your fist pumping in the air and assumed it was something good for Georgia Tech.
Oh, I was just rooting for you, your analysis there. I was trying to cheer you on. No, it was an interception by Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech turned it over with a chance to score on their first drive. And really, we were talking about this during the break. Georgia Tech had an interception, but they called pass interference. I didn't love the call live. The kid did extend his arm. He pushed. He did not need to because he had better position. He was going to make the play regardless, but always forgiven as they come up with an interception. They don't have great field position. It looks like he was tackled inside the five, but Georgia Tech takes over with the ball. BYU with a chance to cut into the lead. They cannot do so. So that was a huge play in that game. But as you mentioned in the Chargers game, right back to where we started in terms of the total. We had the two touchdowns right off the bat. Since then, it's really been nothing. We had the 3 points from the Chargers. That was gifted off of a turnover. Texans really can't sustain drives. They haven't been matriculating. You know, sometimes like with Georgia Tech, BYU, sometimes we watch these games and say, wow, whether they score or not, they're going up and down the field effortlessly. That has not been the case for the Texans and the Chargers. They hit the two home run plays. Yeah, they count. You know, 70-yard touchdown pass for the offense obviously is a great play. But it's not like it's been 8, 10, 12 yards at a time. The Chargers have done nothing. The Texans, since the first two touchdowns, have done very little. So I don't feel terrible about this under. I don't want to get, at first you kind of mentally say, all right, that's a loser. They start to draw you back in. You get a little hope. That can be dangerous because then it's like you lost twice. You get that feeling twice. But right now we're in decent shape with the lack of offense. This game is kind of settled in here.
Yeah, don't mess this up for us, Will. We had to go a long road to get here. So, yeah, don't mess this up for us. Current betting line in that game, of course, a two-minute warning, 39.5, 7.5 your total, as the Chargers are we're sitting at the two-minute timeout in that one. We will look at the college football games real quick. We do see Georgia Tech now a 7.5-point favorite, total 51.5. It's kind of the over is kind of relaxing a little bit. We need some more touchdowns there. And yes, the Snoop Bowl is still going on out in Arizona. Fresno up 6-3 on Miami of Ohio. Fresno, a 2.5-point favorite, a gargantuan total of 32.5. And there goes Justin Herbert. He's running, but he only gets 2 yards, and he gets shouldered out of bounds. And here comes, a whole lot of fisticuffs there. So, yeah, Justin Herbert, he does not look like he wanted to run there in that one. But that's what's going on right now, Will. Let's talk about our best bets for the games coming up tonight that are happening after this show, or maybe tomorrow in your case, I know. My best bets for tonight, I love the under in that artificial trap game, Virginia, Missouri. Yesterday, that total was 44.5. It's down to 43.5. I would still play it at that 43.5. Another under in the bowl game in Houston, LSU in Houston. Yesterday, that game was 42.5. It's down to 41.5 today. I would go under that one as well. The Ravens, when I submitted these yesterday, they were 5.5-point dogs against the Packers. That's before Jordan Love was declared out. And we do see the Chargers right now, the long pass. Look at that one. They're down to the 15 of the Texans. So look out there. And I'm definitely going under Derrick Henry rushing yards. That total's up to 74.5. I don't think I'd play the Ravens now with that total, that 2.5 now instead of 5.5. So buyer beware on those lines that we submitted yesterday, but I'd still go under Derrick Henry. Will, your best bets for the games to come?
Yeah, a couple of them already in action, but I do like for tomorrow, the Browns getting, I gave it out early in the week at 4.5. It's down to 3. I'm okay taking the 3. If the Packers do beat the Ravens, this Steelers-Browns game tomorrow is irrelevant. The Steelers will have already won the division. Plus the Browns, you know what? It's a division rival. They're home. Weather is going to be shaky. There's not going to be a lot of points scored. So I'll take the home dog regardless of what happens. But there's a possibility that game is meaningless both for both teams, basically just an exhibition game where you're getting a few points at home. I did add, since yesterday, since we got the news of Lamar being out as well as Love being out, I really do like this under 38.5 in Packers and Ravens. Both quarterbacks are not big time throwers. Both of them are going to run the ball almost like service academies where 3-4 yards, RPOs, handoffs, short gains, the clock will be running. I think that's a good recipe for a low-scoring game, 20-17 type of game. I like the under as an add here between the Ravens and the Packers to go along with the Browns plus the points. Chargers, Texans first quarter did not get home. Georgia Tech plus the points is looking good. So a lot of action, Brad. This is, I don't know if you saw this. This is the last Saturday with college football until 245 days from now, week zero, because all the games going forward are during the week. No more games on Saturday after today. So it's a bittersweet day here for college football.
Why you got to be a party pooper, Will? Why you got to say stuff like that? I'll find that stuff out on my own. I don't know why I had to ruin my day. Well, we got college basketball. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. By the way, before we get to what's going on, would you consider the under in that Browns-Steelers game? Because I really like the under in that one. Even if it's a low total, I still think the under is a good play, Browns-Steelers tomorrow. Would you be okay
it's
with that,
so
too?
It's so low, and we talk about this with these other games. Once you get to such a super low total, it's hard to stay under, but I certainly don't want any part of the over. I'll say that much.
By the way, we had an interception in the NFL game. Chargers, Justin Herbert was intercepted at the one-yard line going in. And they've reviewed it, and yes, they're going to go with it. So it is 14-3 now, 1:02 to go, and it's now 2nd-and-8. They ran a play there. So they got a couple yards coming out. And the live betting line for this one now, total 38.5 in this one, while the Texans are still 7.5-point favorites. Chargers have both their timeouts. Marks runs it up the middle, and he's going to get the first down, and that's going to be a very big play for the under in that one. Because now they can't call timeouts and run this thing all and get the ball back around midfield. That is a huge first down right there, Will. I kind of like our chances in that first half under, and especially for the game under now. Your thoughts on this as we look like we might be home free with that one.
Yeah, very rarely is like a 15-20-yard gain good for an under, but betting has a weird way of working sometimes. And this was good for the under because now the Texans – I don't know. Your defense has played well. There's 52 seconds left. They did call a timeout, so my guess is they probably play it halfway here. Where, hey, let's see if we can get another chunk play, and then we'll see if we want to take our shot. But I wouldn't imagine the Texans can come away with any more than a field goal here. Chances are they're conservative and either get into field goal range or the clock just runs out. And keep in mind, if you did bet the first half, I saw it this morning at 19.5 with the game total ticking up. I'd imagine it ticked up to 20, maybe even 20.5 in some spots. So imagine that. You bet like under 19.5, under 20 for a first half, and it's 14-0 5 or 6 minutes into the game, and you still got a good shot to get home. And that's the case right here with a game that is really slowed down in terms of the scoring.
I should have made you an offer to buy your tickets from you, Will. I think you might have sold them to me a few minutes ago, and I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't have bought them after that first start here. Okay, Will, we're almost at the end
here. I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Hey, the cheap shots. There's no need for stuff like that. All right, Will, we're about out of time here. What did we learn today on this show here on Live Bet Saturday? Did we learn anything with all this craziness going on?
We learned you don't rip up your tickets, because if you had the first half under in Chargers, Amen. Texans, or the full game under, you're tearing that thing over. I know there's some guys in Vegas, I've heard about this. People will go around the trash looking for tickets that people throw away as winners or crumbled up tickets. That happens. And you're nodding your head. Yes. You never throw away a ticket. We've seen that whether this gets home or not with Chargers Texans, it's never a loser until it's final here. So some hope here in this under.
You haven't gone to a horse track here in Kentucky. That's all some people do. They'll just go just look at these tickets and see if they've got one. People go through garbage cans looking for those tickets. Will, we thank you so much. And it's an honor and a pleasure to be on here with you every Saturday. We will see you next year. And thank you for a great 2025 joining us here on VSIN. Thank you, buddy. All the best to you, man.
Yeah, man. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We got plenty of action today to keep us going. So hopefully it was a good show in terms of the bets. Hopefully we can keep going into the night.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Will. But stay tuned here to VSIN for Live Bet Saturday. Ready, Set, Bet coming up next with Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming up 6 o'clock Eastern, followed by the contest show. I think they're down to 9 in Circa Survivor for contest strategy and analysis for millions and Survivor players. Then stick around for Cashing Out with Scott Seidenberg at 10 p.m. Eastern. As always, our special thanks to producer Jared Moore. Jared, thank you so much, buddy. And may the Simpsons be yours, as we like to say. We also thanks to Danny, Andrew, Dakota, Justin, Evan, everybody else behind the scenes of today's production. Stay tuned for Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. They're up next as we see, it looks like the Chargers Did they get the ball here in some way, shape, or form? C.J. Stroud, did he throw a pick? Oh, it's bad news for us if he did. The good news and the bad news keeps on coming. Make sure to have your water and your aspirin ready to help those heart palpitations, if you know what I'm saying. That's all coming up. Stay tuned here to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.